Let's pray. Almighty God, you pour out the spirit of grace and supplication on all who desire it. Deliver us from cold hearts and wandering thoughts, that with steady minds and burning zeal we may worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's read Isaiah 6, verse 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died and saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple, seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to the another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke, and I said, "Who is me? I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongues. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your sins is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." This is the word of the Lord.
Every time that I go into a new group, young and adult, and I speak about sharing their faith, or if I dare, gospelize, it's like I'm talking to them in a foreign language or something. They are taken aback with it, and they seem not to understand it. And it got me thinking, why? What is this like this? And as you see, our friend Charles Spurgeon says that to gospelize a man is the greatest miracle in the world. And he's called the Prince of Preachers. So, gospelize is just an old word that was used instead of evangelize. And I kind of like it better. It has a nice ring to it, right? So, we're going to say that it's vintage, not old, okay? So, if this is true, that to gospelize a man is the greatest miracle, and in that one miracle, all others are wrapped up. Why is it that it's so hard for us? And I think, maybe you have your own thoughts, but I think that part of it is because you never seen it happening. Let me ask you, as an example, have your children ever see you share your faith with someone else? Or your friends, new Christians, have you ever taught them, have they ever seen you doing that? You know, share the gospel is like this big, white, shiny elephant in our Christian's life. Everybody knows they have to do it, but few of us do it. We live a life in which Simon says, "Jump," and we jump. But if Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations," we study about it. It's like this man who told his daughter to clean the mess she had in her room, and that he expected everything to be clean by the time he's back. So when he came back, he found his daughter's room in the exact same shape. So he went to her and, evidently mad, asked her why she didn't do what she was asked to do. And she goes, "Well, when you left, I got together with my sisters and I told them what I thought I heard you told me. But they weren't sure since, you know, a couple of hours went by. So we debated a little on what you could have meant by it. And when we finally agreed, we prayed to God that he would reveal us where the trash bags and cleaning supplies were. We also memorized your words in English, Spanish, and Greek. And by the time we were done, you know, we were hungry. So we ate, and then we have a time of fellowship where we discuss how wonderful our time together was. After all, you always say that Jesus and God is the most important thing in life, and that is exactly what you do with them. So all I wanted was to show you how much I love you, Daddy." Some of us are like the girl in this fictitious story when it comes to sharing our faith. But the topic keeps on coming. And you know, I think that sometimes we make the assumption that when someone becomes a Christian or comes to church or whatever, they have to do this, but we fail to explain why. Right? So I want to share with you at least three voices that call us to share our faith. And I hope that this will be a start or a restart of a passion to gospelize your own world. And these words, these voices are a call from above, a whisper from within, and a scream from beneath. A call from above is the call of Jesus Christ himself. When he says in Matthew 28:19, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Remember when you were little and you were playing outside and your mom called you? In my case, it would start like, Tao! That's my nickname. And then, if I didn't respond, it quickly moved to Gustavo Arnel. You know, that's my middle name, so get over it. And if I didn't respond, it will go to Gustavo Arnel Gonzalez Rodriguez. And I better run inside or else flip-flops will start flying, if you know what I mean. You know, let me tell you guys, Jesus is using our full name and telling us to go and share him with the rest of the world. You know, the scary thing for me is that in John 14:21 and 23 to 24, it tells us this. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. All who love me will do what I say. Anyone who does not love me will not obey me. You can also look for John 14:15 and 15:10 and 14. But then again, in 1 John 5:3, it says, loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So if this is true, if the Bible is correct, and one of the ways that we show that we love Jesus is by obeying his commandments, and this one is, hello, it's called the Great Commission. It's one of the most important and the last one he gave. And we can see it developing, right, in the book of Acts. They obey that commandment. Go and make disciples of all nations. The question will be, what are we doing then? What are we doing? Because I guess that all of you that are here, if I ask you if you're a Christian and you say yes, and if I ask you if you love Jesus, you will say yes. But are you obeying his commandments? The most simple one. The second voice that I want to share with you is the whisper from within. It's the whisper of compassion. In Matthew 9:36 says, when he saw the crowds, that is Jesus, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without shepherd. Can you imagine a sheep without shepherd, lost? It wouldn't be too long before predators will come in, start encircling it, and attacking. But let me tell you guys, your friends and family that don't know Jesus are surrounded by predators. Satan, the world, and their own flesh. Predators that are looking to destroy them forever. We need to meditate in this, guys, and start praying a very dangerous prayer that God loves to answer. God, stamp eternity into my eyes and break my heart with the things that break yours. And you will start hearing God answer as he told Ezekiel, I don't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. Why should they die? I don't want them to die. Turn back and live. You know, some people believe that God is like this Zeus kind of God, with a light bulb in his hand, waiting for you to mess up, to strike you dead. But he's not. He doesn't want anyone to die. But you know what? He has told us to go and do our part. share him with them. Turn back and leave is the call that we should also echo. The third voice I want to share with you guys is the scream from beneath. Imagine that one day you get in your mail a letter. And it's a letter from an afterlife. Some of your friends that you fail to share the gospel with. And imagine that that letter reads like this.
Dear Zach, I died today. It's a lot different than I expected. You see, I always thought dying would bring me into a world that's foggy and hazy. But this place is crystal clear. It's even more real than my life on Earth. I can think. I can talk. I can even feel. Right after the wreck, I could feel my spirit leaving my body. It was the weirdest thing, Zach. I thought I heard you screaming out to me, man. I must have been just imagining things. At first, I was just standing in line, getting registered, I guess. They asked me for my name and began to look in this thing they call the Book of Life. I guess they couldn't find it, though, because this huge angel standing next to me grabbed me by the arm and started dragging me away. I was terrified. I had no idea what was going on. I asked the angel where he was taking me, but he didn't answer. So I asked him again. Finally, he told me that only those whose names were written in the Book of Life could enter into heaven. And the rest would be condemned to hell forever. Man, I was scared. The angel threw me into some kind of holding cell where I've been sitting and thinking for a long, long time. Do you want to know what I've been thinking about? I've been thinking about you. Zach, you're a Christian. You told me so yourself. I mean, we talked about it 3 different times today. Kelly brought it up, and you laughed it off. Coach Adams brought it up, and you changed the subject. I mean, it came up right before the wreck. Well, the question I can't get out of my mind is this, Zach. Why haven't you ever told me about how to become a Christian? I mean, you say you're my friend. But if you really were, you would have told me about this Jesus and told me how to escape this terrible place that I'm headed for. I can feel my heart pounding in my chest. The angels who have been chosen to cast me into hell are coming down the hallway. I can hear their footsteps. I've heard of this hell, Zach. They call it the lake of fire. I can't stand it, Zach. I'm terrified. No, the angels are at the door. Oh, no. No! They're coming in, and they're pointing at me. They're grabbing me and carrying me out of the room. I can already smell the burning sulfur and brimstone. I can see the edge of the cliff where hell burns. This is it. I am without hope. We're coming closer, closer, closer. My heart is bursting with fear. They're holding me over the flames. I'm damned forever. This is it. They have thrown me in. Fire. Pain. Hell. Why, Zach? Why didn't you ever tell me about Jesus? Signed. Your friend. Josh. P.S. Welcome. Wish you were here. Wish you were here. Wish you were here. Wish you were here.
Guys, the Bible speaks of a literal hell. And the strangers around us, our friends, our family members that die without Jesus, are going to hell. And it doesn't matter how liberal you are with your interpretation of this hell, one thing is clear. Jesus wants you to avoid it at all costs. He says it is better that you take your own eye out or cut your own hand than to go to this place. I know what he meant, but he's trying to make the point of the seriousness of the punishment looming. Jude 1:23 says, rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. And I know this could be a daunting, very daunting task. Maybe you're here today and you don't know these voices because you never met this Jesus. But let me tell you that God, the creator and sustainer of the universe, created you to be within a relationship with him. And he is God. He is in charge. Like it or not, believe it or not. It's like this president that you didn't vote for, but he's still in charge of the country. So he set up the rules. And those rules is our sins. Our sins separate us from this God. Every lie, even the white ones or the little ones, every blasphemy, what is so rampant in this culture, everybody uses God's name in vain nowadays, like it's nothing. Every disrespectful act towards your parents, every lustful look, because Jesus said it, whoever looks with lust in their heart has committed adultery in their heart. Make the separation between the holy God and the sinful man and woman more evident. Imagine that you have the audacity of slap this same president in the face. Guess what? You will have deserved what is coming for you. And these sins cannot be removed by any good deeds. It's impossible. Think about it. If you already broke the law, there is no one breaking it. Just paying for what you have done. And that is precisely what God did for you and for me. Because paying the price, Jesus died on the cross and rose again. This Jesus, the only man who was able to live a perfect life, was killed so you can live. And it's a gift of eternal life available for everyone who trusts in Jesus alone. And that life, it starts now. Yes, it's not a way like a shot so you can get into heaven. It's a life, eternal life, that starts now and lasts forever. It's the guarantee that you will be free of those things that are destroying you here and now. By the power vested by the Father and Jesus that still works today but in the Holy Spirit to break every chain that might be holding you back. The same power that might be steering your heart right now, calling you to repent and put your trust in Jesus and be safe. Maybe today is the very first day that you've heard this message. Maybe it's the very first day that it makes sense to you. But it's true. And I would like to give you an opportunity. If you've realized your sins, if you want God to forgive you, because he wants to forgive you, now's your chance. In the quietness of your heart, I will ask you to pray for forgiveness and claim to him. Because he says in these words that whoever comes to him would not be turned away. Or maybe you want to respond to these three voices and you feel inadequate or unprepared. Let me tell you, you're not alone. So I'd like to invite you to be a part of a group that I'll be leading that will teach you a way to share your faith. Something like the children, the teenagers from this church learned on our trip to Washington. And it will be starting on the second week of September. I set up a paper outside, so you can sign up for that. And I'll let you choose the preferred day of the week between Monday and Thursday. We'll be democratic about it. There's also a 40-day devotional that if you want, I can help you get. But in closing, guys, I remember years ago, I learned that a friend of mine, one that I grew up with, had cancer. So I got very concerned, and I called him just to find out that he was cancer-free. And immediately in my mind, because I was determined to gospelize him, to share my faith with him. But as soon as I found out that he was cancer-free, in my mind, I started thinking, you don't have to do this. You have a lot of time. But suddenly, a boldness got hold of me. And I asked him, can I go to your house? I want to see you. And I went to his house, and I sat down with him for a couple of hours. And let me tell you, it was difficult because he kept changing the subject. But I can tell you that I was able to share the gospel with him as clearly as I could. When I left, we hugged, and he told me that he had the intention to go to church that morning, but he didn't. And that he believed that it was God that sent me there to talk to him. I hugged him again, and I really don't know if he accepted Jesus on that day, but I never saw him again. A couple of months after that, I was eating ice cream with Sasha and some friends, and I received a call. Christian, my friend, was shot dead. Apparently, he was driving two guys, and the guy that was in the back seat shot him in the back of his head. He didn't even see it coming. And he was a couple of blocks away from where we grew up. You see, one of our mistakes, guys, is that we believe we have all the time in the world, and that is not true. Think about it. You heard that recording? Would you want that for your worst enemy? For your friends? That guy at work that you can't stand? I wouldn't. Maybe your mom, your dad, son, daughter, husband, wife. He was my age, and he was taken like this, leaving two kids behind. Again, I don't know if he accepted Jesus or not, but I did what I could. And you never know how much time you will have with that one person. So I encourage you to make much of your time with that person and make it count for eternity. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. And God, thank you for your patience with us. Thank you, God, because even though we fail you time and time again, even though we think more about ourselves, about what people will think, instead of what they really need, you still want us to obey you. You call us to repent and put your trust in you to carry out your job. God, I pray that you will make these three voices louder and louder each day. They will bother us. They won't let us sleep. That we hear your call from heaven telling us, go and make disciples. That we'll hear our voice from within, that our compassion comes up, that our hearts are broken with the things that broke your own heart, God. And also, yes, God, that we hear that scream from beneath. Because you, Lord, talked about that more than anyone else, and we have to believe you. Make those three voices real and present in every day and help us. God, I want you to put in every mind and every heart gathered here today a name, one name, God, of that person that you want us to reach for your kingdom. God, let us pray for that person so the topic will come up. and give us boldness to carry it on. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.